Be with you. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians. You may still be there. John finished reading chapter 1, and we're gonna pick it up in chapter 2, verse 1. This morning is really part of a three-part series. As I wrap up my time at UPC, I want to speak over the next several weeks about my love for this church, my prayer for this church, and my hope for this church. And so I'm gonna get through this with the Lord's help. You're gonna get through this. We're gonna start this morning in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. The context, I think for most of you, you know, but it's good for us to speak of again, is as most of you know, this past August, I began to think that the Lord was bringing our time at UPC to a close. And on the one hand, I found in my own heart a desire for something new, particularly the desire to move back to Ohio, to be closer to family, and to promote church planting and revitalization throughout Ohio. On the other hand, came to believe that a change in leadership at UPC would be good. New leadership, fresh ideas, promoting new energy and fresh growth. And I shared these thoughts at the end of the summer, almost immediately with the elders, and throughout the fall, I was talking to churches and pastors throughout Ohio. In November, Nicole and I attended the PCA's church planting assessment in San Antonio, Texas. And through these discussions, a clear path open for us back to Columbus, Ohio. So I've received a call to serve as associate pastor at Northwest Presbyterian Church in Dublin, Ohio. And my role at this church will not only give me an opportunity to serve that congregation, but also to promote church planting in Columbus and gospel multiplication across the state. And Nicole and I are sad to leave. Hard to leave. But we clearly see God's hand leading us into this new season. Our departure has come a little more quickly than we initially anticipated. But really, once we made the decision, once we knew where we would be landing, we just thought it would be better on everyone to make the departure quickly. Be better just to rip the Band-Aid off. And to move forward. So that's what leads us here to the month of January, a month that we are eager to spend with you, worshiping with you, for me to be able to open for you a few more times the Word of God. And as I said, we're really sad to leave. We're overwhelmed in some respects by the task ahead and all that we need to accomplish over the next few weeks. But we believe that the Lord is in this process, and in this process not only for our family, but for UPC. And so over the next 3 weeks, I want to reflect with you on three things. My love for this church, my prayer for this church, and my hope for this church. This morning, we begin that journey in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. For you yourselves know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain. But though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. For our appeal does not spring from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive. But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please man, but to please God, who tests our hearts. For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor a pretext for greed. God is our witness. nor do we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our very selves, because you had become very dear to us. Would you join me in prayer? Our Father in heaven, this morning we do delight and rest not only in the love that your apostle had for the church, but in the great love that you have for your church, the very body and bride of Christ, the pillar and buttress of truth, your kingdom on this earth. And so we pray, Lord, as we cast our gaze to your word this morning, Lord, that you would grant us your spirit, that you would grant us joy in this moment, that you would grant us hope for the future, and that you would grant us a deeper delight in the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, 16 and a half years ago, Nicole and I pulled up to a rental house owned by Ruth and Robin Rose. We were welcomed immediately by John and Susan Pickett. The next day, an army at the church from the church showed up to help us unload a trailer. I remember many of your faces, and I remember Ben Hawksworth still in a car seat. He didn't offer much help that time around. Joe Barrett brought us hamburgers from Chachi's. And less than a week later, I was dressed up like a worm, and VBS was underway. You know, we came to UPC, and we had no idea what to expect. We had no idea how long the Lord would keep us here, and we had no idea how precious this place would become. Paul spent less time in Thessalonica. He was there probably at most for a few months. But you hear in these opening chapters just how dear not only the church universal was to the apostle, but how dear this particular congregation had become to him. His words are instructive to us. He rejoices that his coming to them on the heels of imprisonment in Philippi was not in vain. The time he spent among them was valuable. He saw men and women come to faith, built up in their faith, and sent out to share their faith with others. He saw God work through conflict and sanctify his church through trials. Paul's visit to Thessalonica came on his second missionary journey, and his practice was to first enter the synagogues and there preach, not himself, but Christ and him crucified. We know from the book of Acts that on three separate Lord's days, Paul gathered with other believing Jews and Gentile proselytes there in the synagogues and proclaimed that it was necessary for the Christ to suffer, that it was necessary for the Christ to rise, but most importantly, he argued from the Old Testament scriptures that Jesus of Nazareth was the long-expected Messiah. And we know that many joyfully received his word. Many embraced Christ in faith through this preaching. After 3 weeks, Paul was put out of the synagogue, but at that point, he'd gathered men and women who wanted to hear more. And he stayed on in Thessalonica for several more months, discipling them in their homes. His time in the city was short, but his time in that city was sweet. He came to know, and he came to love those he ministered to. And Paul concludes the reflection that we just read by saying, "So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready, Silas and Timothy and Paul, to share with you not only the gospel of God, but ourselves, because you had become very dear to us." UPC, I know how that feels. Because you have become very, very dear to us. To Nicole and to me, to my children. And indeed, it was my desire, it is my desire as a pastor, not only to share the gospel with you, but to have the privilege to share ourselves. Nicole and I love you. We've been loved by you. And leaving UPC is, as I said, one of the hardest things I think that we have done in our life. But we're excited. We're excited for what is next. We believe the Lord is calling us onto this. But that certainly doesn't make it easy. It doesn't make it easy for us. It doesn't make it easy for you. It doesn't make it easy for our kids. And it's hard, really, just for one reason. Not because selling a house is stressful or that the future is unclear. It's really hard because you have become dear to us. It's been a blessing to serve as your pastor, to shepherd you in seasons of victory, of seasons of trial, to walk with you through the valley of the shadow of death, to laugh with you on mountains of joy. When the Lord called us to UPC, we were literally a couple of kids. Fresh out of seminary, we were young, we were immature, and you loved us. You were patient with us. You mentored us. You allowed us to make mistakes. And you caused us to grow and allowed us to mature in our faith. You taught us, even as we sought to teach you, how to do ministry. And my joy as a minister has really been rooted in two things. It's the very things that Paul speaks about in this passage. The privilege of proclaiming the gospel of God, but also the joy of sharing our lives. You know, ministry is about more than just preaching. In fact, you could find far better sermons online. You could listen to Tim Keller. You could listen to Kevin DeYoung. You could read great books written hundreds, thousands of years ago by titans of the faith, from Augustine to Calvin, Spurgeon to Packer, and be edified, be fed, be nourished. But gospel ministry is incarnational ministry. It's about more than just communicating the truth of God's word. Paul showed up in Thessalonica ready to share not only the gospel, but his very life. And the greatest joy in ministry, along with proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, has been walking beside you, hopefully embodying the message that I seek to preach, not only calling others to repentance and faith, but striving to model repentance and faith. Not only teaching about reconciliation and forgiveness, but extending those things to you and receiving those things from you. Not only extolling the beauty of adoption and our union with Christ and justification, but learning how to rest in these realities and to rejoice in them with you. For 16 years, UPC, we have learned how to follow Christ together. For 16 years, we have shared with each other not only the gospel, but our very lives. We've shared highs, we've shared lows. And in the midst of it all, we've continually pointed one another towards Christ. You were with us when we navigated the grief of infertility. You supported us when we began the journey of adoption. You celebrated with us when we brought Hannah home from the hospital. You fought for us when her adoption was contested. You rallied to our side when an energetic 15-month-old made his way into our home. And you've continued to make room, not only for our infant children, but for our teenage children. You helped us when we decided to dip our toes back into foster care. And several of you decided to make that journey with us. You supported us when various kids were coming in and out of our house, in and out of our youth group, in and out of our church on Sunday mornings. And you rejoiced with us when Zachariah became a Tabano. All along the way, you ministered the gospel to us. You reminded us of the truth of God's word, and you comforted us with his promises. And over the course of that same length of time, each of you have taken your own journeys. Beautiful journeys, difficult journeys, and I've had the privilege of laughing and crying with you, of seeing babies born, children baptized, young men and women make professions of faith, watching as your loved ones died. UPC has changed. We've seen people come. We've seen people go. We've experienced as a congregation tremendous highs and tremendous lows. And I can't help but reflect that in Ohio, I'll continue to preach the word. My ministry in that sense won't change at all. I'll continue to proclaim the gospel. But I'll do it in a new context. The message will not change, but the audience will. I won't look out and see your face anymore. So as we prepare to leave UPC, one of the things that I reflect upon the most, one of the things that I've learned from you, is just how vital relationships are to ministry. If I only proclaimed the gospel, I would have only done half my job. Gospel ministry is incarnational ministry. This is what makes it effective, and this is what makes it hard. True ministry always entails sinful men and women pointing other sinful men and women towards a sinless Savior. Especially as we leave the Christmas season behind us, I encourage you to continue to think about this as well. Gospel ministry, all ministry, must be incarnational, is always incarnational. Be a church that continues to share not only the gospel with each other, but that is eager and willing to share your very lives. Risk making yourself known. The most fertile soil for the gospel springs up from lives that are shared. Discussions around dinner tables, prayers in living rooms. And take the time to welcome, to get to know, to love the next man. Embrace him for who he is and love him as well as you have loved us. You know, when I look back at UPC, it's strange to think about what I will remember. I know I'll remember VBS, and I know I'll remember YXL, and I know I'll remember fall festivals and harvest parties at the Armstrong Ranch. I know I'll remember youth trips to the Curry's Cabin, mission trips with the Rawsons. I don't think I'll remember, and I don't think you'll remember, particular sermons that I preached. But I know that I'll remember you. I'll remember weddings. First wedding I ever conducted. And funerals. Okay, the last funeral that I've conducted. I'll remember times in your living rooms and times in the hospital. But four things that I know I'll remember and love about UPC is your love and commitment to the gospel, your love for the Word of God, your vibrance in worship, and your commitment to the next generation. Your commitment to the gospel, I will remember. You know, it's so easy to get distracted by secondary things, to become consumed by theological distinctives, cultural trends, political partisanship. But at the center of UPC is a single message, the message of the gospel, the good news that Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. And the assurance that our salvation can be found in no other name under heaven. The gospel isn't something that we outgrow. We need it every step of the way. And the gospel isn't just for new Christians, it's for all of us. UPC, you will never outgrow the gospel. And your ministry can never move beyond the gospel. And so as you move forward, I hope that you will move back, but only in this one way, that you'd constantly be going back to the gospel. Whatever is built in the future, may it be built on the solid foundation of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And may your dependence, your desperation, and your love for him grow, especially in the weeks and months to come. But second, this is a church that is faithful to the Word of God. If the gospel is the power of God for salvation, we only come to know and understand the gospel through the Word of God. We come to know Christ through the pages of Scripture. We come to understand his grace through his self-revelation. It's not my words or Jordan's words that save. It's the living and active Word of God. And central to the ministry of UPC is the Word of God. We seek above all to preach Christ and Him crucified. And UPC has been a church committed to the Word of God. It's a church that's eager to study, eager to share the Word of God. And this isn't just true of our times on Sunday mornings, but men's and women's Bible studies, home groups, youth group. These are places where the Word of God is cherished. And one of the things that I'm personally most thankful for is that my children have received instruction in Sunday school, youth group, from the hands of other people. But third, UPC, I love your reverent and heartfelt worship. I'm grateful to James. I'm grateful for Kay. I'm thankful for Edgar and the rest of our youth group. UPC is a church that loves to worship, that sings and takes worship seriously. And it's more than just an opportunity to hear a sermon preached. It's a weekly opportunity to praise God. I've been blessed to see an entire generation of young men and women take the reins of worship at UPC. From the soundboard to the stage, the amount of high school and college students that we have participating is tremendous. It's a testament to James and Kay and their willingness to raise up another generation. And it leads to my fourth and final thing that I love about UPC. For 63 years, this church has been committed to the next generation, to passing the gospel down, to seeing ministry go beyond the present and into the future. Your commitment to YXL, your commitment to KFC, your commitment to Crosstown all reflect this priority in different ways. It's seen in your willingness to support church planting in Las Cruces, Grace Covenant, Coram Deos, across El Paso, and throughout the Southwest. But it's seen perhaps most of all in your commitment to RUF. Any church that's 60 years old has to work hard to pass the faith down, to make room for others, to pass the torch of leadership on to another generation. Continue to prioritize the campus. Pray for the students of New Mexico State. Find new ways to welcome them and connect with them. Be willing to let go of your preferences in order to welcome them, and continue to make it a priority to pass the faith down from one generation to the next. UPC will be here 60 years from now if it makes that a priority, faithfully passing down the message that we love. For these reasons, among many others, I hold you in my heart. I love this place, and I love you. But there's someone more important than me who holds you in his heart. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He died to make UPC his own. He called you by his Spirit. He redeemed you by his blood. UPC is not my church. It's Christ's church. And you belong to him. And that, beloved, is really your only comfort in life and in death. Some of you over the past few weeks have said things like, I can't imagine UPC without you. I appreciate that, and I understand the sentiment. In many respects, I can't imagine myself right now apart from UPC. But that may be why the move is necessary. God does his greatest work in seasons of transition and times of change. He sanctifies us through challenges when we are forced to rest upon him and his sufficiency. And the love that I have for you pales in comparison to the love that Christ has for his church. His love is perfect, and his work at UPC is not over. May your passion for the gospel, your faithfulness to the scriptures, your reverence in worship, your commitment to the next generation continue to grow. Would you join me in prayer? Our Father in heaven, we do delight